Coming up on show 1127, Billion Dollar Deals show why batteries are indeed the new oil. And if you haven't got them, you haven't got EV. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, how many of those Chinese cobalt-free Model 3s are being sold? We now have a number. We'll talk about Rivian's $5,000 pull-out kitchen on their R1T and how Volkswagen are doing here in Europe. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Monday, 28th of June. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with this news about Honda changing course, and they're going to build their own electric vehicles. Don't they already? You might be asking. The Honda E is a pretty fabulous car. No, the next two cars, you think after the Honda E, they would follow that up with the next couple. They could. They've got the tech and the people and the company to do it, but instead they asked General Motors to do the next couple of first fully electric vehicles, for North America at least. Honda saying that they will change course, though, by the middle of the decade and develop their own EV architecture, according to APnews.com, Associated Press. After the two General Motors EVs with a Honda badge on, they will then develop their own platform to make full electric vehicles. Honda and GM have been partners for a while on fuel cells and EVs, earlier this year announcing the two vehicles, one of them a Honda SUV. Of course it's an SUV. Everything's an SUV. And an Acura SUV, using GM's Ultium cells, or Ultium batteries. So these days, the name they're giving to all of their powertrains, the Ultium powertrain, the stuff that you'll find in the GM electric vehicles. Honda wants 40% of their North American business to be either battery or fuel cell by the end of the decade, and 80% to be battery or fuel cell by 2035. So, you know, it's hard to look forward 15 years and say, well, you know, 4 out of 5 vehicles will have batteries or be fuel cells. Firstly, it won't be fuel cells, because as much as the Japanese, you know, Honda and Toyota are ideologically wedded to the idea of hydrogen, they've spent a ton of money, they've sunk all their cash into it, they really want it to work, that horse has bolted, it's not going to happen for personal transport, because no one wants to go back to going to a certain filling station and paying the price that somebody else dictates when you can generate your own electricity on your roof and then it's free. Or if you want to top up your EV, you can get electricity from, hang on, let me just check my notes. Oh, yeah, everywhere. Electricity is everywhere. But still, they want some bonkers hydrogen network on the corner of every street and it for it to be distributed and generated. It's crazy. It will work probably for planes and trains and buses and commercial vehicles, point-to-point transport where they can have depots and filling stations. And, you know, there's lots of reasons why fuel cells will work, but not for cars. Honda and Toyota can't give up the idea, though, and just keep putting money into it. So good luck to them for that. And realizing, actually, after GM build their next two cars, well, maybe we should have a platform for electric vehicles. Good idea, boys and girls. We'll get round to that sooner or later. I love Honda. They've made some cracking cars and vehicles over the years. Illustrious history, but I don't know. They just seem to be prevaricating so much on the world of EVs. Let's go to China next. And the cobalt-free batteries going inside the Model 3 Standard Range Plus. Not as high performance as the NCM, the nickel cobalt manganese batteries, which you'd find in all the American-made ones. But in China, Standard Range Plus Model 3 does indeed have this cheaper but less impressive battery, if you like. But it's, you know, it's costs less, it's a little bit heavier, it is not as energy dense, less performance, but still very good, and in some cases has had a better charge curve. Not always, but not when it's cold. Recently, I've seen some fantastic charging on these LFP batteries. And so, yeah, they've been around a long time. Loads of people use them. BYD have got great technology there. Tesla went for it with their Standard Range Plus Model 3 in China. And now, via a Twitter account, Moneyball, who I see a lot and tends to be pretty correct, saying that according to Chinese insurance data, 88% of the Model 3s sold in China have this cobalt-free technology. Isn't that interesting? Well, the data says inside EVs, if it is correct, indicates the Standard Range version has a share of 88% of the market for Model 3s, because there's only two. Remember, there's Standard Range Plus and there's performance. That's what they sell in China. And what does it mean for Model Y? Well, a rumour that the Model Y LFP starts in July. So again, there is a long range and a performance Model Y in China. So adding a third one, standard range plus Model Y, with the cheaper batteries, and that'll be fascinating to see if it actually happens. Let's move on to our headline story today, all about some big battery news. And if you like buying Renaults, Nissan, Mitsubishis, this could be a great bit of news. Let me start with kind of circling round this one a little bit. First of all, news of Nissan. Nissan are confirming this week that they will build a battery gigafactory in northeast England, a place called Sunderland, where the Leaf is made, as part of their EV strategy. Japanese firm, media firm Nikkei reporting last month, Nissan are partnering with the battery maker Envision AESC to build new battery plants for EVs in Japan and the UK. So, having a look at the tweet from Mark Kleinman, who's the business journo for Sky, he said, I understand Nissan will confirm as soon as this week details of its EV strategy for the UK, including the construction of a battery gigafactory in Sunderland, paving the way for thousands of the Japanese company's electric cars to be built in Britain every year. Those who study EV history will know that for a long time, Nissan were trying to get rid of their battery company, AESC. They sold it once, that deal fell through, then they sold it again to Envision, and that deal did go through. So if you go to Sunderland, by the way, beautiful place, one side of the road is the massive Nissan plant. It's just mega, it's enormous, it's sprawling. You see on Google Maps, it's just huge. The other side of the road is the battery factory. So the Nissan Leaf is made there in Sunderland, and the batteries made there as well. Formerly of AESC, now Envision AESC is the new company name. Now, it turns out, Nissan say, we want to build a gigafactory in the UK. If only they could have realised this 3 years ago and not sold the one they had. Yeah, well done, Nissan. People have known for ages that if you want EVs, you need batteries. But no, they got out of the battery game 3 years ago, and 3 years later they're going, hey, we've got an idea. Listen, everyone, this is going to blow your minds. We think we should make batteries. Oh, you can't make it up sometimes, can you? And that leads us on to the news of Renault. This is the big news. So Renault, of course, with Nissan as part of their one company, the alliance, they call it Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi, announcing, finally confirming. There was rumours last week, but I didn't report them, by the way, just so you know. It was a Bloomberg story last week, but now Renault confirming those stories, those rumours were all true, signing an agreement with Renault and Envision. AESC, the Chinese battery maker, will build a battery factory at Renault's site in northern France. A total capacity of 43 gigawatt hours is targeted by the end of the decade. That's pretty good. That's pretty sizable in the world of gigafactories. Renault agreeing to purchase 24 gigawatt hours worth of cells every single year. The batteries from the site are to be used in future electric cars. The first one that will use those cells are going to be the Renault 5, which is a couple of years away, and then other vehicles. That's the first bit of news. The other bit of news is that Renault has also signed a deal with the French battery startup Verkor to develop and manufacture high-performance batteries with a view to owning a 20% stake in the company. The combination of these two partnerships with Renault Electric City, which is the name they're giving to their little kind of hub of three factories, will create 4,500 direct jobs in France by the end of the decade, Renault said today. Their production hub, with sites, the three sites being Douai, Maubeuge, and Ruitz, making 400,000 vehicles a year, and when it's running at full pelt, the French state is, of course, their biggest and most powerful shareholder. So again, yeah, in that company of Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi, the alliance, the French state, has always been a very powerful, politically, shareholder, certainly as being such a big owner of Renault. They currently buy their batteries for the Zoe, of which I've had two and love the Zoe. The batteries for the Zoe come from LG. They're made in Poland, those batteries, but they're not cancelling that battery deal. They're going to carry on buying them and use them in the new forthcoming Renault Megane EV, which comes next year. Renault are also talking to Stellantis, the company from Fiat Chrysler and Group PSA, now merged. And also because Stellantis have formed a new joint venture company with the French outfit Total. And so Renault are talking to them about a battery tie-up from 2027 onwards. Again, it's becoming a bit of a cliche. You can't have EVs if you haven't got batteries. So many car makers are making these massive, massive announcements, and they run into the tens of hundreds of billions in some cases. So yeah, the Vacor deal, which is the French startup, they're going to make high-performance batteries. That, to me, stinks of the Alpine brand, because they will be high-performance cars, and I think that the Chinese-made Envision batteries are probably going to be for your, you know, your everyday bread-and-butter Renaults. Got a quote here from Luca Di Meo, the CEO of the Renault Group. He says, our battery strategy builds on Renault's 10 years of experience and investment in the electric mobility value chain. So there. The latest strategic partnerships with Envision and Vacor bolster our position as we ensure the Europe-based production of a million electric vehicles every year by 2030. A major milestone, he goes on, about French manufacturing, blah-de-blah, local jobs, etc. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, is also going to unveil that announcement today. As of me recording this on Monday, it hasn't happened yet, but it will at some point across the channel in France, in northern France. And of course, Macron is looking at national elections next year and political power. And of course, there is plenty of advantage to be gained from standing up and talking about the creation of 4,500 French jobs to make French batteries in France. Asterisk, owned by the Chinese. Okay, let's move on. Oh, by the way, links to all of those stories, to Electrive, to Bloomberg, to Automotive News Europe, to Euronews, in the show notes if you'd like to read more for yourself. Okay, coming up on the podcast soon, we're going to talk Rivian's pullout kitchen and also how the Audi e-tron gets a facelift already. Stick around. Let's talk about Rivian showcasing the R1T Camp Kitchen. That is the official name. The Camp Kitchen is something that Rivian CEO RJ Scaringe is particularly proud of. Been tweeting about it. The kitchen comes in three modules. It lives in the gear tunnel, which is that kind of central storage that runs traversal, you know, from side to side of the car. The R1T Camp Kitchen has an induction hob for two pots or pans, a sink, a hose reel to rinse off dirty dishes, and it's attached to a water tank inside. Doesn't have a drain, but you can then drain off the water, I imagine, when you can get to somewhere that you can do that. It's 65 inches long, and it features LED lighting, 12-volt outlets, 110-volt outlets, and it'll only cost you $5,000. So Rivian buyers, if you fancy cooking in the great outdoors, you could take a little $20 gas stove or something, but if you want to run on electric power, it'll just be the $5,000, please. A Rivian owners forum have been tracking data with an Excel sheet and a spreadsheet to work out who's buying what. 11% of pre-order customers buying the R1T, 11% have spec'd the kitchen. Goodness me, that's a lot of people with $5,000 to spare on a... You must really want to cook in the wild. They must really want to get some beans on and do some sausage and, heat up some soup, make a nice cup of coffee first thing in the morning. I mean, why not? Okay, let's talk about Britain aiming to catch a £8 billion worth of an EV spending spree. Britain wants to seize the spending spree coming up from not only car makers, but battery makers as well. The government has an investment department, and the city grandee, former head of Barclays, wasn't he? Now he goes by the name of Lord Grimstone, which sounds like that would be a wonderful, you know, like a wild, Scottish, crazy-haired old lord, you know, from the Highlands. Lord Grimstone! But it's not. He's from Streatham in London, so he wouldn't sound like that. But it would be good. Because that's what I would call that character. I call it Lord Grimstone. Oh, there's batteries in the hills. Anyway, where were we? We were talking about how Britain wants to get £8 billion worth of investment from all of the various announcements being made. Nissan, we've talked about already, the Gigafactory in Sunderland. Stellantis own Vauxhall's big port here at Ellesmere. South Korean LG and Samsung also talking about making Gigafactories here in the UK to support Jaguar Land Rover. Lord Grimstone! He wouldn't sound like that. Has been around the Thatcher government in the 80s when they were privatising everything. Led that, went off to work in the city. Like I say, was he head of Barclays and other things as well. Now, in his 70s, back in the government, and it's his job to, I would say, travel and meet all these very important people. But, of course, COVID, so probably doing Zoom calls with various chairmen of large companies saying, hey, spend some money in the UK. And the UK government seeing, I think everyone sees it, but the UK government saying they see a massive opportunity to get some investment, according to this Telegraph article at telegraph.co.uk. They interviewed Lord Grimstone, and he said, every single one of them that I talk to are changing their production schedules, bringing forward new electric models and reconfiguring a global footprint. It's a huge opportunity for the UK. Out of this massive change, you're either going to catch the wave, and if you don't, it won't be another one for 20 or 30 years, he says. Really interesting. So, you know, I'm pleased because I'm here that our country is doing something about that. But we've talked about Biden on Sunday's show or Saturday's show. And now the US spending so much time and money making sure that they have a domestic supply chain in place. You ain't got batteries. You haven't got EVs. That's it. Right, let's talk about Audi, the e-tron, getting a facelift already. It seems like it's 5 minutes old, but it's not. It was out in 2019, and so it's due now for a mid-cycle refresh. I say now. Wait for me to get to that point. There's some design tweaks, but also a new electric powertrain, says Motor1.com. The e-tron and e-tron Sport back, and of course the S versions of those, which we get in Europe but the US don't, they're the tri-motor really hot ones, they will also increase their range. Autocar magazine saying that the range will go up from 249 miles to 373. What? That's not a typo. 249 to 373. That is some crazy improvement Audi's done. Staying with the same battery, or a similar size battery, 95 kilowatt hours. What are they doing there then? What are they playing at? They got some efficiency gains. Are they taking some powertrain stuff from the Audi e-tron GT or maybe the Porsche Taycan and wazzing it inside the e-tron? Maybe, because they're getting rid of what's in the car at the minute and putting in something much, much better. It won't arrive, though, until 2022. Audi also planning to reveal the Q6 e-tron as a 23 model year, and that will be developed alongside the Porsche Macan, which will be incredibly popular for Porsche. A link to Motor One in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Okay, final story. Looking across the 10 European countries that Clean Technica like to do, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the clear brand winner from those 10 Euro countries is Volkswagen. They've got 18.3% of the pure electric vehicle sales across the 10 Euro market. That's not VW Group, that is Volkswagen brand. One out of every 5 EVs sold in those 10 countries is a VW. Tesla, at the minute, are hanging on to number 2 position with 10% of EV sales, which is, in other words, the Model 3, because there's no Model Y, there's no Model S or X here for a year and a half now in the UK. It says delivery end of 2022. For Plaid, I know. Oh, Elon doesn't love us anymore. I joke. He comes here on his jet occasionally. I don't know, for a Greg sausage roll or something. Renault then behind with 9.2%, so very close to overtaking Tesla here in Europe. Then Peugeot, Hyundai and Kia. That is, though, the brands, but when you look at the group level stuff, the Volkswagen group are just so far ahead of everybody else. Because they're making a lot of EVs and others have had a bit of a slow start to the year. So congratulations there to everyone at Volkswagen getting their EV on and doing rather well. Okay, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. What's more important for you to have at home? Is it to store your energy, or is it to make it? What's more important for individual EV owners to have? Is it to generate electricity with your solar panels, or maybe a little wind turbine if you have the room and the space? Or is it to store energy and then to use it off-peak? So maybe charge up your batteries in the garage or something, or under the stairs from the grid overnight, and then use it through the day. What's more important? Is it to make the electricity or to store it? And I mention that because we're getting solar panels this year. We can't afford batteries yet. And I've been thinking, well, maybe should we get the battery now and then solar later? I don't know. So let me know if you have any experience of this, or just you have a gut feeling. What's more important, to make it or to store it? Solar or storage? If you can only have one, what's more important on your house? Email me your thoughts and I'll read them out on Sunday. hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks, as always, to our premium partners of the podcast on Patreon. Everyone on Patreon, by the way, from producers upwards, $5 a month, exec producers and the rest get the ad-free feed. So if you hear some ads on the podcast and you don't want them, just make sure that you pop to your Patreon page if you're a supporter. And if not, you can sign up for maybe a posh coffee or two a month. Equivalent, and you get rid of all the ads, and so you get your ad-free feed exclusive to patrons. Premium partners: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hey, have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.